We're talking about tech this morning here on Coho 101.1. Deliberations continuing at the Chelan County PUD and among customer owners on the proposal to implement a possible new electric rate class for quote-unquote high-density loads. Those are customers like data servers, blockchain, and Bitcoin operations with energy use of 250 kilowatt hours per square foot or more per year. Commissioners held a public meeting Monday on the proposal. It was attended by more than 50 business owners and community members. Also last night, there was a community meeting where those technology innovators took center stage and took questions from the PUD and, yes, the public on what they do, what is a Bitcoin anyway, and how could this possibly affect Chelan County. For more on that, we're joined by Malachi Salcedo here in studio. He's the president and owner of the Salcedo Connection and an emerging force in the Bitcoin and blockchain technologies here in Chelan County. Malachi, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Well, before we get into all of this, electric rates and where we go from here and the opportunity or the threat, let's begin at the beginning. What drew you to this emerging technology, and how many years ago were you turned hip to this?
Our first exposure was in 2013 when companies and individuals from literally around the world were coming to this region, Chelan, Douglas, and Grant counties, and looking to set up blockchain servers, which I had never heard of, to house blockchain technology and to mine something called Bitcoin, which I had also never heard of. We are a mechanical, electrical, building controls company. We do design, build, and engineering for large, complex, critical space projects like data. And I did complete pre-design work with our company for multiple prospective builds. These prospective builders did not understand the complexity of a lot of power and mechanical in a small space, and the timelines, the permitting, and we'd go through the process of design, and they would leave. After I had done that a couple times, I had learned enough about the technology and the opportunity to realize this is actually a significant new technology that will make a market, and it drew me to become a part of it.
As an entrepreneur, what's the draw for you right now, and what's the draw as far as the long game is concerned?
Great question. If it was just me sitting here telling you this is the latest, greatest thing, I would be really nervous about my long-term position. However, international finance, insurance, banking, even countries like the United Kingdom are investing significant amounts of money and figuring out how to utilize this new technology called blockchain. There's an axiom in business, which is follow the smart money, or at least follow the big money. Those companies and those countries would not be making those investments in something that wasn't going to make a market.
Now, blockchain technology, I believe the Google CEO, current Google CEO, even went so far as to call the emerging blockchain technology the most important invention since the internet.
And that's correct.
And for folks who don't know, and talk to me different if I'm wrong, here's my understanding of blockchain. I think I have a better read on this than Bitcoin, but blockchain essentially is it's a form of it's basically an irreversible record that everybody has to agree to when it comes to banking institutions. It makes it much, much harder to institute fraud. It ensures that everyone's on the same page and on the same level, and it ensures that transactions happen a whole lot faster. This is a big deal, and a lot of folks believe that it is the future in banking protocol, essentially. Is that about right?
That's a good summary.
Okay. Help me out with Bitcoin here, because sure. Bitcoin to me feels a bit more dodgy. It's a new currency made out of whole cloth. It's not tied to any one sovereign nation, and you have to mine for it. Also, there have been some reports out that everybody has read talking about how Bitcoin has been used in some cases for some dodgy purposes, arms, drugs, what have you. Now, that's not all it's used for. But how is this not something that is either A, flash in the pan, like what derivatives were in the financial industry, and something that is B, built to last? How does Bitcoin work?
Great question. Well, Bitcoin and blockchain are actually two sides of the same coin, no pun intended. So blockchain technology is like you described. It's a new way of transacting financial transactions and exchanging information. It was invented in 2009, and that's not on accident. It's a response to the financial crisis of 2008, where once again, centralized security and oversight of financial institutions and the people that run them failed us miserably. We are trying to manage through centralized database and centralized security a world of data explosion that we just can't keep up with. We need a new model. Blockchain is like a DNA sequence or a genome. It's a database of numbers. It's a string of numbers.
Right.
Everybody gets a DNA sequence or a DNA strand. It's this, no, actually, nobody gets a DNA sequence, right? But we get the concept.
Right.
It's a strand of information that you have housed within amazing vast amounts of data that can build a complex organism. Blockchain is a string of numbers that's elevated by computers all around the world that don't know each other, okay? And they all agree to what that number sequence is. That has huge power because you can piggyback massive amounts of information on that chain, and it's not crackable because you have to crack all the computers in the world to crack that chain.
Noted. So how does Bitcoin involve
all of this? Here's how Bitcoin comes in. How would you incentivize people and businesses all around the world to elevate this new technology so it can be utilized? You would have to incentivize them with some kind of financial reward. Each number that's found in this number chain is rewarded with a monetary value. Each number that's found is rewarded with one Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the financial reward for finding a number.
For finding what number?
So
in the chain.
In the chain. The chain is growing. So all of these computers around the world are doing two things. They're all agreeing on the information, which makes it so secure, and they're looking for the next number in the sequence.
Okay. All
right. So the numbers were just past 15 million. The number will become 21 million. So that DNA strand will become 21 million links long when it's completed. And the reward for finding a link is a Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a new number. Now think of this in terms of like the internet. What made the internet languish for so many years between conception and actually fully being realized? There wasn't an incentive or reward. If you had incentivized people with figuring out how to build out the World Wide Web, it would have developed much faster.
Okay, I'm starting to get it now. So at this point, you need the blockchain to grow for this to become a fully realized thing. That takes a lot of power, like it takes a lot of time. The Bitcoin is essentially a carrot out there for folks to basically do this.
That is one of its functions. As the number sequence is completed, what will happen is the monetary reward will become a fee for transaction, like credit card processing fees, except for being credit card processing fees, as we know, they're like 2-4%.
Right.
Bitcoin or blockchain processing fees will be some significantly smaller fraction. And here's the reason why.
Okay.
That 2-4%, that covers operating costs, but it also covers every time I have to call them and say, hey, some guy in the Catalina Islands is spending money on my credit card. And that credit card company has to go chase them down, nullify the transaction.
Right.
All of that security enforcement costs a lot of money. If you didn't have to do that, the actual fee for processing would be more like 0.2 or 0.02%.
Okay. Talking with Malachi Salcedo with the Salcedo Connection, talking about these proposed higher rates for these blockchain and Bitcoin technologies. Before we even get there, though, trying to understand blockchain and Bitcoin technologies. Here's the thing that gets me. So this takes an incredible amount of power to mine this. I mean, incredible amount of power. Does it take an incredible amount of power simply to mine those numbers, or is it taking an incredible amount of power because we're trying to overcome the inertia of getting this huge boulder rolling? That is to say, as this blockchain becomes larger and more of the world comes online with it, is it going to take less power at any one location to do these sorts of things?
Great question. Won't take less power at any one location. That power will be much more efficiently used. For example, the generation of ASIC server chips that we are deploying right now is 4 times more efficient than the ones we're pulling off the shelf. And this technology behind the blockchain, those servers are, they're being reimagined every 3 to 6 months. So you have new generations every few months coming online that are significantly more efficient.
All right. We're going to get into the power rate in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. Are you good to go for another segment? Are we okay for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to talk about the actual power rate in our next segment. But right now, I'm going to end with this question. As we look towards the future, and this is towards the long game, because we're talking about, you know, all these companies coming in and the opportunity for this, it does take a lot of power. As we move forward and this becomes a more accepted and universal form of currency and the way these financial institutions do business, is there enough power worldwide for this? We're in an extraordinary situation where we have a lot of power. There's a lot of hydropower. We're a lot different than, say, Nebraska. Or what? But if this is the accepted way of doing things in Nebraska, are they going to have enough power to make this happen? Are we going to run up against limits in infrastructure?
That's a great question. This is actually a more efficient use of power than all of the separate centralized security databases running in the world today. If they can stop doing what they're doing and utilize a common system or internal systems that are built on blockchain instead of internal controls and central database, they'll actually use less power. The world will use less power for this purpose than it's using now.
Once the ball gets rolling.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess my final question. Anytime you talk about a game, anytime you talk about a system, there will be people who will be dedicated to try to beat the system. We've seen it with the financial markets, with derivatives and the like. We've seen it since time immemorial.
Yep.
How is this foolproof? There is nothing in the world that's foolproof.
There is nothing in the world that's foolproof. But to take down this system, you're not attacking one central database from some undisclosed region of Russia, right? You have to attack the entire international network. Computers that don't know each other, that are not connected through any network, that are all bonded by one common theme, keeping those numbers synchronized. You have to attack all of them at the same time. And here's the beauty of it. It's big and it's growing exponentially. The bigger it gets, the harder it would be to take the whole thing down.
Malachi Salcido with the Salcido Connection trying to have us understand blockchain and Bitcoin technology. I think we've got a little bit of a read on this now. We'll come back in our next segment. We'll talk about the power needs to make this happen in the short and long term, the proposals from the PUD, and what possibly could be done to have both sides meet in the middle. Thanks so much. We'll catch you in just a couple of minutes, okay?
Okay.
All right, great.